tuned to Keldabe Talk Radio, the official podcast of the Mandalorian Mercs. We're a costume organization dedicated to charity efforts around the globe, attending events in Mandalorian armor we've built by hand. Here on the show, we'll keep you up to date with the latest fan community news. Visit our website at www.mandalorianmercs.com.
Hello and welcome to this month's edition of Keldabe Talk Radio. I am your host, Crow. And with me on this episode is Thaxos.
Hello.
Pinocchio.
How you doing?
And Ark.
Heyo.
All right, so this month's edition, we have a fair amount of Star Wars news, which is very confusing for me this time of year without a Star Wars movie actually coming out. And we also have a bunch of MercsCon news, but we'll get to that second in this episode. So to start in with the Star Wars news, we'll just jump right in with everyone in this club's favorite bit of news. Kathleen Kennedy was re-signed back with Lucasfilm and Disney. Sort of her contract got re-upped for something like almost $5 billion and then a bonus depending on how well Star Wars does. Something along those lines.
I thought the $5 billion was how much she'd brought in for Star Wars earnings versus the budget of $1
billion. Oh,
not that she's getting rehired for $5
billion. Oh, okay. Yep, I've got my numbers all wrong. But still, like...
It'd be an amazing job if you got $5 billion.
I mean, George did.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right, so no, I got my numbers wrong. But yes, Kathleen Kennedy, still working with Disney and Lucasfilm, never left. So... continue to expect more great work from her. And honestly, if you do have a problem with Kathleen Kennedy being on the board for Star Wars, re-examine your priorities, really. Like, I don't mean to be rude, but really. She does a good job for us.
Yeah. And it's going to be what it's going to be.
Yeah.
Anyways, right? Yeah. Like, we have no say in it. They're going to do what they want to do.
Yep.
So, and as I always like to say, just enjoy it for what it is. And, you know, that's that.
Yeah. So,
really hoping we get another Solo. Yeah.
Another Solo?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like a sequel, or what do you mean?
Yes. Yes.
Like Solo.
Not dose? Another actor playing Solo, but yes, Solo dose.
Well, yeah. I mean,
the longer I've mulled about it, the more and more I want to just see a sequel to that movie.
Yeah, keep going.
Of all of the recent, like, of all the spinoff movies, all two of them that we've had, that one really did give us, like, the most opportunity for a sequel, really. Like, it brought Maul back. Like, we've got Crimson Dawn instead of Black Sun. Yep. You know, the further adventures of Chewie and Lando and Han. I mean...
Enfys Nest!
Enfys Nest.
Yeah.
Yeah, would watch more Enfys Nest all day, all the time. Yeah, no, I'd accept that. That'd be good. I mean, we're getting more Star Wars. They did, though. The only worry is that because Solo only brought in like several dozen million dollars instead of it wasn't the crazy profit that the Last Jedi and the Force Awakens and even Rogue One were. It does seem that they've sort of pumped the brakes a little bit on the spinoff movies.
Oh, hang on, I'm looking. I think the Solo Star Wars story grossed, quote, only $392 million worldwide.
Yeah, only.
They analysts estimate a loss for the film at $50 to $80 million. Somehow, I don't quite know how they got to that.
Because they made the film twice. That's the big problem.
Ah, okay. That kind of
so instead of having a $150 million budget, it was closer to $250 to $300.
Okay, so yeah. According to Wikipedia, oh, no. Yeah, it was $275 million budget.
Yeah,
for
you
Solo.
Basically would have to double that
to be successful. Yeah. So it didn't actually lose.
Didn't lose any money.
Money per se.
Yeah, it was.
But yeah, it was not the rousing success they
yeah,
hoped. But I mean, we said this on the previous episode, between the holidays that they had and the short time frame between the last Star Wars movie and this one.
The mediocre press.
The marketing and the media press.
Like, it was...
It didn't have a great chance.
Compared to Rogue One, which Rogue One was a little... About the same budget, $265 million. Really had almost no press whatsoever. It just kind of came out.
Yeah.
That made $1 billion. That made a cool billion.
I did not realize it had made a full bill.
I mean, I imagine, because that's box office, you know, so, and it ran for a while.
We're blaming the Russians.
Yeah.
It's now the Russians' fault.
Yeah.
Usually. Yeah, I guess that's something too. We haven't mentioned that a lot of that was determined to be a bunch of like Russian bots. It wasn't even real accounts for people that were targeting and
stirring things up.
Basically, the online starting things up on the online about all the problems. And I think the media unfortunately kind of just got caught up in that and just ate up the, you know, there's all this negative press. Let's talk about it more.
And kind of blew things out of Star Wars.
Well,
I mean,
wouldn't go that far.
They might. I don't know. I don't know any communists, so I can't say for sure.
I don't know.
I don't know any, but that's okay. But yeah, like, so that's like, they've sort of pumped the brakes a little bit on the spinoff films. Mm-hmm. But that said, they've released a new animated show. They're releasing a new live action show, which is what I think all thought I was going to talk about. All right. So let's honestly, I'm crazy for The Mandalorian. Like, finally.
Yes. Oh yeah.
Like absolutely. That
if you love him so much,
I'm hoping
marry
Pedro Pascal. It's true.
Or her arc. Or her.
But, oh, that's true. That's true. They have not. Yeah. Oh man, what if it is a lady?
I mean, look at Enfys Nest. I'm just saying.
What if it's Gwendolyn Christie? What if they just gave her a second role? I mean, yes, sign me up if that's the case.
Phasma and the Mandalorian, clones separated at birth.
Sign me up right now.
Yeah, but I mean, like with Enfys Nest, a lot of people didn't realize that it would be a female character. And the Mandalorian could go the same way.
Yeah, no, that reveal at the end of Solo is great. And like same sort of thing. Like we all kind of, like with Phasma, we all kind of knew, like they teased it at the very beginning that it was going to be a lady, and then in the Vanity Fair thing, they're like, yep, it's Gwendolyn Christie. It's like, yeah, she's a cool, like, oh, sweet, cool chrome stormtrooper. Turn two. Oh, sweet, cool chrome stormtrooper. Like,
yeah.
Love it. but yeah.
Oh, yeah. I'm going to ask, how much battery got drained when that news broke on your phone? Because you're the social media manager guy, so I'm sure your phone was just
It was pretty good. The main thing that I had was that I had to make sure that we got the right links for everything, and my social media team does a great job pulling a lot of that stuff in for me. Thank you, guys. So I can just, like, they point me at something, and I get to just fact check, and everything is awesome. But yeah, like, our Facebook posts were crazy, like our Twitter feed was crazy, Instagram went nuts, like it was a good day for all Mandalorians everywhere, but especially us.
I had random people just sending me, oh, have you seen this? Oh, look at that.
have you seen this thing? Yeah, I have heard of it. Like,
I found it kind of interesting how quickly it went from the, like, the description image that Favreau posted, where it was just the title and then a brief explanation of kind of the premise of the show. And then within, 24 hours, we had
that full picture. And then earlier this week,
I thought they were going to tease that out lot longer.
But then, I think about a week ago at this point, they showed his the gun that the Mandalorian has on their back. And it's pretty much the holiday special, like, taser rifle.
I love it. I think it's a fantastic mix between kind of a nod to the holiday special and kind of that kind of weird looking tuning fork of a gun that they had. Because, you know, in the cartoon, it wasn't, you know, it's not exactly a high fidelity cartoon in terms of the detail in the drawings.
That's
a lot of
because
it
is a bad cartoon.
Well.
Well, Nelvana had like a $5 budget. They did the best they could.
Yeah. But I think it's really cool that they're taking that and, you know, Star Warsing it up to be really something that's like, no, that looks pretty nifty, actually. I'm really curious on what sort of visual effects they'll have going along with that.
Because, like, we don't ever really see Fett use it. Yeah. Or does he shock the dinosaur with it? I don't remember.
I think he zaps the dino thing with it once.
Yeah, I remember feeling I remember it being like, dino.
Yeah, it was kind of like some generic, like, beam thing. But I'm also wondering if maybe they're just going to have it as, like, the character wears it for the longest time, and we don't see it in use right away, and they kind of tease us with that. I can see that happening as well.
Zip. Yeah, like, it's really... I'm just blown away by the fact that it's that thing that every Mandalorian fan has been asking for. We've wanted Mandalorians in the movies, we wanted him in the shows, like, even just as background characters and cantinas. It's, you know, so you sort of stop believing that it was ever actually really going to be a thing.
You know what, I'm okay with this. Because quite frankly, it's like, it's cool to get a nod in a movie, but show.
I am 100% on
that. That's amazing.
The streaming service, right?
They haven't officially said, I don't think, but it does seem that they're gearing towards their own.
If I had to put $10 on it, I'd say it's going on the streaming service, and
yeah,
it'd be a nice incentive to sign up for that. Kind of like CBS tried to do with that other Star property that didn't work out. That was pretty bad.
Well, the thing is, like, CBS's problem is that it's, they have the one show. That was it.
Yeah.
That was the only thing to watch on that streaming network. And that's the main reason why I still haven't seen that show. It's Star Trek, for those of you who know. We're not trying to be crafty. well, Brian's trying to be crafty. I'm not. I'm dense.
That's how I think it's going to play out.
It wouldn't surprise me if they went that way. And if that was the case, and if they had that and Resistance and Clone Wars and Rebels, and then all the movies on that streaming service, like if it was just like all Star Wars all the time. Yeah.
The Fox deal went through, right?
Yeah.
Right.
Okay. So
I think so.
Everything's positioning to compete with Netflix.
Yeah. Where currently is where everything sits, but
remind me, because it's been a while since I've had cable. What's the TV station that always has Star Wars on
TNT
during the holidays?
Yeah, Turner. They just had another Star Wars marathon 2 days ago.
Yep, it's pretty much the only reason to watch that channel.
Yeah,
when you don't want to get the Blu-ray out.
Exactly. Like I don't want to hit buttons.
Or watch
I've streamed stuff from my phone to the TV before because I didn't want to like get off the couch to find the PlayStation remote to open Netflix. I am a sad, lazy man. And
culture's built.
I have witnessed it. It is true. I mean, it's not, but I appreciate the
camaraderie. Yeah, like so. That's really all the details that we have about it. We're just super jazzed. There have been more than a few people have come out and said, you know, so when are you guys going to be extras? Like, have they put calls out to you guys to just be background Mandos? And as far as we're aware, no. No one has approached us yet.
Yeah,
Our email's out there. Facebook's out there. Shoot us a message, please, you know.
They know where to find us, yeah.
I definitely have heard from some people that I know on Facebook of, like, friends of theirs or friends of friends who work in the props industry, and they have been, they have done work on that costume. So they are definitely using local talent for where they're shooting that, which is awesome.
I forget, where are they shooting that?
I believe it's down in California.
Okay, yep.
I think. Not 100%, don't quote me on that, but I believe it's down in that area.
Yeah, I mean, it wouldn't surprise me. Yeah. Well, I mean, they've done, like, there have been a fair things. I forget his name, but one of our other members in Canada, I think he lives in Vancouver, and he's done work as an extra for a bunch of stuff that's filmed in Vancouver before, because they shoot everything up there.
Yep.
Vancouver's the Canadian Hollywood, basically.
Yeah. Yeah, if there's something that needs like an outdoor scene in a pleasant looking city, Vancouver. So, you know, if you need us, if you think that you might want us, you know, just shoot us a line. You know, we're more than happy to quit our jobs and fly out for 2 seconds in the background of a shot.
Yep. While we're on the subject, I know it's definitely been discussed a lot about, you know, what impact this will have, as most times it does with regards to new sources of canon Mandalorian armor. The Apps team will not be putting out a CRL until they actually see all aspects of that costume. We've only seen the brief teaser photo. A lot of speculation is happening on people of, like, what it means. You know, will it mean a reduction in this rule or an addition of some other rule over there? Will it be treated like canon only? Will it adapt to, you know, additional things? And we appreciate everyone's enthusiasm, but the speculation is just that, speculation. Until they get photos from the back, from the sides, all different angles, they can't fully make an informed decision. So we appreciate the patience from those that are waiting and aren't going to pester the Apps team too much on that one. They definitely are just as excited as everybody else is. So just bear with them as they work on that.
Well, and it's worth pointing out that if, at least at the beginning, until we get more examples of that style of armor being on multiple people, it'll likely be a Sabine sort of thing. You can make a Sabine kit all day, but you can't do a custom Sabine chest yet.
Mm-hmm. While we're on the subject of the Apps team, since I guess we're jumping from Star Wars news to Merc's news kind of a little bit, but it transitions well. The Apps team is going to be taking a break for the winter holidays. We don't have the exact time just yet, but that specific time frame will be announced in the announcement section on the forums, and there will be advance notice prior to that actual cutoff date happening, so that way people that are currently in the works or getting close to being finished, you will find out in advance. You will have some time to kind of try and get things sorted by that time frame. For those that aren't as familiar, things tend to slow down around the holidays anyways, and you know, the Apps team works very, very hard on all the various applications that come in throughout the year, because it's a nonstop, constantly going job. So they deserve a break just as anybody else does. So we appreciate everyone's patience with that as well.
Yeah, Brian.
Yeah, I know nothing.
You get your break.
You get your break and like it.
I know nothing.
So let's see. So we got John Favreau. Yep. Hired a thing for something. Yeah, we don't really know what. oh, yes. We have mentioned, despite the fact that we don't have any new movie news, they have launched a couple of new TV show efforts, one of which, the big one, being The Mandalorian, also being the big landmark because it's, on top of it being Mandalorian, it is the first live-action Star Wars show ever.
Yep.
It's been teased since the late 90s.
Yeah.
And they've finally done it.
3 years later.
Like, man. but
yeah.
Their cartoon game remains strong, and Resistance is out.
Yes. Yes, it is.
And I...
Who's seen it?
No, I haven't.
No?
I want to, though.
So I'm the only one, huh? Unless, Ark, have you seen it, despite Crow not having seen it?
Tell us about
have you
the
snuck
Resistance.
It in?
No, I haven't.
Okay. So I've watched the first two episodes. Apparently the third and fourth episode leaked early. So some people may have seen episodes 3 and 4, but I don't believe they've officially released just yet. Don't know why that's the case, but that happens to be a thing. So if you're trying to avoid spoilers, just be careful. That said, spoiler alert, kind of. I'm not going to go into too much. The first two episodes basically set things up. It's more or less what you see in the trailer, the teaser, being, you know, you've got this new character, you've got a tie-in to Poe Dameron, so that way there's your connection to the larger overarching Star Wars story on the grand scale. And then the first the first two episodes basically just kind of start to get you introduced to the new characters. So I don't really want to give too much of a judgment on it because I think it's just kind of getting its feet under itself to start. It's setting things up. You know, for those that may be a little concerned, it's very kid-like. Well, it's a kid's show. But I'd just like to point you back to both Clone Wars and Rebels, where they started off a little more kid-focused, and then the show grew with the kids as the kids got older as well. So I don't doubt that we're going to see something similar here. We're going to see the show grow with its viewer base. But I have good optimism towards it. I'm certainly going to keep watching, see how it develops.
Now, how is the... Because it's using that... That semi-cell animation style, like, is that, how does that look while you're watching the show? Is it?
I think it's fine.
Okay. As I've seen, there have been some good shows that have done good jobs with it, like Dragon Prince, also on Netflix. That show did that animation style pretty good. Whereas things like Berserk did not.
I haven't seen either, but I'll take your
word on it. Yeah, I mean, well, one of, like, you know, one of them is, it sounds like it was, like, Resistance. It, you know, it looks good. It's animation. Like, you notice it sometimes, but it looks good.
Right.
Whereas some shows like Berserk, Berserk, I think, had two issues. One, if you weren't one of the main three characters, you just looked like, the character just looked like a mannequin. Like, it was real obvious. It was real obvious to see who was about to get chopped in half. And then it would also be like, it would be a scene and no one would be moving. Like they wouldn't animate.
So kind of low budget money focused like, on certain parts.
It's like, if it wasn't Gun. Yeah.
Resistance is not like that.
Good. Love that.
Resistance, for the, I want to say minimalism. I'm sure Brian with his art knowledge is going to cringe at my horrible way of describing stuff here, but with the way that they have certain details kind of minimized, you know, it's definitely a different look with that with that animation style. But I have noticed that they've still put a lot of detail into the show. It's not like it's lacking of detail. Already within the first two episodes, I've seen a Mandalorian helmet on a shelf in the background. So, hey, there we go.
Sick.
I also do very much like, this is another one of those kind of like, I'm trying to pick stuff that's not going to be spoilers, but are still really cool things that I enjoyed. There's definitely a nice variety of different species of aliens, so we don't just have a whole bunch of humans. That I really thought was neat. You know, they've definitely put in some little details and stuff, so you know, like there's Ouroboros that you can read, and it reads to read the actual character's name or the name of the thing that it's referencing, which is cool, as always. I haven't spotted, I've only recently figured out how to read Ouroboros for a completely unrelated reason.
Man, you're behind.
But yeah, I'm way behind. But it's come in handy, and I haven't spotted any issues with reading it. Everything, all the text checked out, which is, you know, definitely attention to detail that you might not think would be there. So,
and I joke about reading Ouroboros, but if you ever decide to like freeze frame just anything from any of the movies and whatever, for the most part, all of the Ouroboros you see is legit. It is actual sentences and stuff, and that's where a lot of the production teams and the art department snuck a lot of funny jokes. So that's always fun to do. People have been doing that with Star Trek for similar reasons for just as many years. It's been great. Though that's all in English, so that's a little less nerdy. You don't have to learn your own fake alphabet to get what the art guy thought of that day.
What else can I say about Resistance? I think that sums it up fairly well. I just don't want to give it away too much, right?
There have now, how did you episodes. Watch it? Did you just grab it on iTunes?
I had a friend that had a copy of it, so I don't know. I had a friend that had it. That's all I know.
I don't know where
I think I just I know you can certainly get like just buy the season outright on iTunes. I want to say it's on Disney XD too, but
we'll assume they got it from iTunes.
Yeah, probably. Yeah, yep, it is also on the Disney Channel and Disney XD, just like Rebels. It's the same way they distributed Rebels.
Cool.
So, good times there. It is weird though this time of year, because this is usually about when I'm starting to get hyped up about going to see the new Star Wars movie that's coming out in mid December.
Yeah, it feels weird without one.
I mean,
I really wish not to dredge up Solo again, but I really wish Solo had released.
Yeah, I wish that they had held it out for a holiday 2018 release. I mean, I'm glad that we got to see it early, so to speak.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
But like, I think it probably could have done better. Like, the timing would have been better for me anyway. And now I don't know what I'm going to go see in the fall, in the winter. I don't know. Usually my friends and I and Art go out Thanksgiving evening, Black Friday evening to go see just something after dinner or whatever, after we hang out with our families. And it's usually something we've all seen before and can make fun of the second time. So last year, Last Jedi was a perfect opportunity. But yeah, no, now I'm clueless. So, if I have one complaint about Lucasfilm, it's that they don't release their movies at a time that's personally convenient to me.
That's
how dare they? How dare they?
For shame.
I think that's all we got for Star Wars.
I think so. Shockingly, a lot of stuff. But yeah, so on to Merc's news. We have talked a little bit about the app team taking a brief breather towards the end of the year.
A well-deserved pause from their constant workload.
And we see, also mentioned, the Mandalorian and the armor. So that's good, too. The gun's canon, though. If you want to make the gun, make the gun. That's cool. You can get yourself a Jurassic Park shock taser and go to town.
That was perfect.
Phrasing. But the big thing, we managed to hold off on it this brings up a good reminder here. We're actually... This will likely be on the Facebook page by the time that this releases. But Hurricane Michael, being a hurricane, did a lot of damage in a fairly wide area. The South was definitely hit again, as it often does in hurricane times. And one of our clans has released a Hurricane Michael relief patch. It's currently on sale on the forums. You can search it, and it'll be right there, and you can grab it. Proceeds from that go towards hurricane relief for not only our members, but other people affected by the hurricane. So definitely go out and grab a couple. It's a sweet design with the Drexel Clan logo and a hurricane Doppler radar looking thing. Like, it's really cool. And for a great cause. So definitely go check that out. Grab one if you can. Also, if you do just want to straight up donate as well, if for some reason you don't want a free patch with your donation, you can always arrange to donate directly to whatever PayPal fund that's going to. You can always just ask in the thread, and it will be more than happy to answer your questions on that. But on to lighter news. Also, down in Florida is... next month, a couple weeks, probably about a week out from the time of this airing, MercsCon is finally here. it hit me a couple weeks ago that I find that I am flying to Florida in not long, and it's coming up very soon. For the podcast, myself, Ark, and Thaxos will be there. Along with many other mercs. Pretty much everybody that's going is a merc or is merc adjacent in some way. So that'll be fun. It'll be a nice three and a half day party, basically, with a lot of cool content, a lot of great panels, and a lot of great activities going on in a cool hotel right on Daytona Beach at a time where I know I don't want to be in the cold, windy Northeast. Thaxos doesn't want to be in Canada. So
And since it was mentioned just a moment ago, we've gotten past hurricane season, so it's supposed to be very nice weather when MerxCon takes place.
Very excited about that. Yes, what is actually going on? So it starts, I believe, let me make sure I get my dates in here correctly, because the date that I show up is not necessarily the date that the party starts, much to my surprise. Everybody keeps telling me that that's not the case. All right, so yeah.
Also, the party will start without you.
I mean, yeah.
These are important things to consider. Yeah.
The party starts when Crow shows up. You heard it.
But yeah, officially, I mean, a lot of people will be showing up, checking into the MerxCon Hotel on the 8th. Events officially start on Friday morning on November 9th. And we go pretty much Friday, early Friday afternoon to midnight, really. with all manner of things, including the KTR live show. It'll be live to everyone in the audience. To be determined if we're able to stream it. Depends on what the hotel's internet situation is like. If we can stream it, we certainly will. At the very least, we'll record it and get a audio recording out likely that weekend. We'll hope to get a video out of it as well if we can. So we'll share it in any way that we can, but hopefully we'll be able to do it live. So more to come on that.
Yep. And that'll be taking place at 4 p.m. at the presentation stage.
Because, there's the presentation stage where most of the panels will be going on. Hall. And then, the main hall where all of the big group activities go. Also, the pool is a venue at definitely for Friday. The big official pool party is going to be Friday night. Bring your helmet. Bring your swimsuit.
The pool is an important venue in any Mercs event.
It is. This time, we do have the joy of actually having it be a legitimate, booked thing. Not just 100 of us happen to show up at a pool, whether or not we're at that hotel. but that'll be a cool thing. Bring your helmet, bring your swimsuit. It's always hilarious to see just a pool full of Mandalorian helmets just bobbing around everywhere. It's just a great time. It's also a great opportunity if you haven't met members of the council, if you haven't met members of the various teams, app team, social media team, PR, education team, clan administration, if you want to actually meet some of the people who are able and to help us out on a day-to-day basis as part of the club, this is a great time to meet them. We're going to have specific meet and greets and round tables and whatnot in the main hall a couple times over the course of the weekend. Everybody is encouraged and invited to attend those. And I will say one of the things that I've sort of fielded on this, whether or not, go to MerxCon versus just hang out with everybody at Celebration. The big advantage for MerxCon is that when we all go to Celebration, we all hang out. We all go to the Mercs dinner, we all hang out at the booth, and we all see each other on the con floor and out in the hotels over the course of the weekend. But everybody's busy. Everybody's ready to go to the next stage for the next streaming thing, or see this celebrity, or go buy this sweet patch from this vendor over here. And then there's people who are doing cross club events. So it's hard to really get in touch with everybody during the course of the convention. This is all us. It's all us all the time.
Yeah.
So if you want to hang out with someone for the entire weekend, you want to just, chew the fat, talk with someone on the app team about your armor. You want to talk with us about the podcast and, what you'd like to see on the podcast, what you want to see on our streaming services, what you want to see on the website. This is the time.
Yep. Yeah. Speaking of the website, there's also a panel for the tech stuff. So I'll be hosting that.
Oh yeah.
I'm sure that'll be a fun one. All of them we've tried to make fun. There's a lot of stuff where we really do want people to give their feedback and their input and and see how things are progressing with the club. And then we've also got a lot of panels just for people to enjoy, whether it be educational or just to be for fun. So we've tried to strike a good balance amongst everything.
Like, I just realized there's a panel on Sunday that I should probably go to. The social media initiatives panel.
I think you'll probably be going to that one. Yeah.
Probably responsible for part of that itinerary now that I'm thinking about it.
Yep.
But yeah, so there's a whole bunch of, like, all of the official events go from pretty much 1 o'clock Friday afternoon to about 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock on Sunday. I know that a fair amount of us, it's a vacation. Yep. So I know that myself, I'm going to be there until for the all day Sunday. I'll be hanging out, enjoying the Florida weather until I fly out Monday. I know a lot of people will be taking the same sort of opportunity to just enjoy everybody's company. If you haven't gotten your all-inclusive package deal, which I believe are still available, there are day passes, which are also available. You can buy them for 1 day, 2 day, any combination of days. Slightly less inclusive than the full boat package that a lot of us prepaid for, but you still get to attend all of the activities. Still have a bunch of time to hang out with everybody, go to all the cool panels, lunches. I believe lunches are included with the day badges, right? I don't remember.
That is a good question. I'm not certain of, but specifically the evening events, separate to the panels and whatnot. There are specific
dinner tickets, party tickets, that sort of thing. So there's a lot of opportunity to come and just hang out if you didn't want to spring for the hotel and the full boat package. You know, opportunities for you still abound. Yep.
We've definitely had other people that have reached out in advance, kind of explaining a situation of some number of circumstances. And Corey has done her best to work around people's situations in order to make it so that way as many
stuff
people can
happens,
attend this as possible.
Yeah.
So just don't, because just don't let nobody know
there.
What's going on. That's the main thing.
We do.
Speaking of it being a vacation for most, one thing to keep in mind, I'm sure it'll be fine, but just to let you guys know, just to let folks know, the council members are also going to be still running the event, as well as, you know, being there for the event itself. So, you know, if somebody's got to duck away, because they need to take care of something, chances are they got to run over to another panel in order to get something done. So we are definitely more than happy to chat and discuss things and answer questions and hang out. But there may be some times where you have to get somewhere in particular at a particular time frame to make sure the event runs
just
smoothly for everybody.
Them. So. I mean, like, within reason, they're going into the bathroom, unless you also need to, you know, maybe hold off, but, you know, don't do that, please. I'm a terrible, terrible person to tell people what to do. but yeah, there's going to be a lot of cool stuff going on. For me, my big things that I'm looking forward to will be the KTR panel. Obviously, our live show, I'm real interested in that. We'll be shipping down our equipment for that shortly. X-Wing tournament and tabletop gaming, like, I'm real interested in that. If you do have any X-Wing stuff that you would like to bring down and share and play, please do. If you're able to bring your collection with you because you happen to live close or you got extra room in your bags, please do. I'll be bringing probably enough stuff to fly a squad or two because my bag space is kind of limited. But yeah, bring your fighters. If you haven't converted to X-Wing 2.0, there's lots of people that haven't. I know for a fact that Dar will probably be there with his entire collection of Gen 1 stuff. So there's always going to be somebody to fly against. So don't worry if you haven't converted. A bunch of us are willing to share stuff too. Just ask permission first, you know. But I'm interested to blow up some ships with everybody. We are also going to have a bunch of cool stuff. Like, we're going to have people selling merch. We're going to have a bunch of armor building panels and armor Q&As. Like, we have a Ladies Mandalorian costuming challenges panel to take the unique female perspective of making our costumes. We have metal armor smithing. Mandalore and a couple of other people will be talking at that one about their expertise and experience with actually making like straight up steel and aluminum armor. Yep. Yeah. If you want to, I mean,
there's a leather crafting one as well.
Leather crafting doesn't necessarily just mean making an early crusader, you know, head to toe leather biker outfit sort of deal. Like pretty much any, pouches, belts, just holsters. General accents, harnesses for, you know, blasters and backpacks, all that sort of cool stuff. There's a reason why everybody still makes stuff out of leather. You can do anything with it.
Just about
lots of stuff. So please come to MercsCon.
Yeah, there's tons.
If you're
of
already
stuff.
Coming to MercsCon, looking forward to seeing you.
Can't wait to see you there.
For those of you in the Daytona area, and I'll probably post this out. I do owe somebody a churro, so if somebody can point me towards a good place to get a churro on short notice, please do. I don't necessarily know that those are available on Daytona Beach. So
does as I'm not American, are you not allowed to does the TSA prohibit flying with churros?
Oh no, there's no problem with flying with food. But I know that in Maine where I live, it is it's not super common food. I know a couple places, there's a couple Mexican places that make really good churros. Mm-hmm. But I want, you know, I don't want to buy a churro a week before the event, put it in my suitcase, fly down, and hand someone like the remnants of a churro.
So you don't support the buy a churro, fly a churro program?
No. Lobster, yes. For those of you who haven't flown in and out of Maine, you can totally buy a lobster at the airport, have it shipped cargo, and have it arrive at your destination with you. You totally can do that up here. It's fantastic.
How the space bugs prolong.
I had no idea. I don't know why that's so funny to me. I had no idea that was a thing.
Well, because who flies with live seafood, really?
I would think mainly your people.
No, actually, we live here.
We can just go and buy it off the boat, and it's great.
I couldn't pass up that pun, though.
Oh, yes. Yeah. That's one of the... I love my home state. I know that I'm going to have a great time in Florida, but after a few days, I'm going to be a homebody and just want to come back. But everybody thinks it's a great idea to name their business...
Mainly
something.
Ah.
Mainly kilts, mainly shoes, mainly meats. It's like everything is mainly, and it needs to stop. It's like everything in Mississippi isn't named after the river. Like there's like six things that aren't. Like follow that example.
So yes, Crow needs help with that authentic local churro experience in Daytona Beach.
Yes. So yeah, hook a brother up. I owe like.
To whom do you owe the churro? That is good.
I forget your screen handle, but a loyal listener of the podcast, we had a thing a few months back where I forget what the dare was, but there was a challenge that if something happened, I owed somebody, one of our loyal listeners, a churro. I believe it's one of our members from Belgium.
Oh.
I forget your name, and I really apologize. But yeah, like she called me out and was like, I expect a churro at MercsCon. So, and I'm a man of my word. So
I'm sure you'll find their information by the time MercsCon comes around.
Oh, yes. No, I'm just drawing a blank right now. You know who you are.
I think we said it already, but MerxCon.com has all the scheduling and everything else, the info you need. Any questions, Corey Snaps knows what's up. And we're all very excited to see you at MerxCon very soon.
I'm excited to see me at MerxCon.
Yeah.
It's going to be like, it's been snowing today in parts of the state, and it's already started.
It hasn't. It
is. It was a time.
It's not doing that right now, and I hope it doesn't, because I got Comic-Con this weekend, and I got way too much to get done.
It wasn't even what we would call a dusting up here. It snows, and it melts before it hits the ground.
It still needs to be gone and not come back for another couple months, as far as I'm concerned.
You know, the county got some good snow today, Ian.
Well, yeah, that's the county. That's almost Canada. For those of you unaware of Maine's geography and her 16 counties, basically the entire northern half of the state is its own county.
Because 12 people
live there. Civilization just sort of stopped, and we're like, and then there's this part.
Yep. That sounds like Canada. Most of the province that I'm in is just wildlands.
Yeah, there's like...
Just about everything is within 100 miles of the U.S. border.
Yeah,
and then there's just wilderness.
Yeah, it's just the opposite. Everything is within 100 miles of the Canadian border on one of the three sides. So you can visit fantastic destinations like T2, R9, and other undesignated territories.
Just sounds like habitats for droids.
Pretty much, yeah. Like, there's like the population of moose is far greater than the human population.
So Canada, like you said,
No, it's pretty much it's 90% Canada. Yeah, like you could come to to Aroostook County, Maine, and really feel right at home.
Yeah, one of these days I'll make it on out there.
If you do, don't go there.
No, heck, we could take him out to see our moose. They could have a good conversation.
I'm game.
He's game. He's our game animal.
Oh, God.
I had to.
I'm in physical pain.
I am not.
Well, you said Canada's close, so just hop over the border, get that free health care.
He's got a fever, and the only
prescription is moose bacon,
more maple syrup. Oh, moose
health care from Canada.
All right, well, as folks can probably tell, we're starting to run a little empty on topics now.
Yes. Made it to a recording time of 50 minutes, which is about 20 minutes of solid content. Which Rom will distill down for you in most beautiful fashion.
I'm just gonna go through and be like, that's crap.
Yep, that's get rid of that. Yeah, so...
I think the only other thing that's gonna be said is just... I've got one other thing. I was gonna say, in general, all the council members are gonna start kind of getting real busy because they've got to actually travel to MerxCon. So there will be a period of time in which most... Everybody on council will at some point or another be unavailable for a short period, so don't freak out. It's just making the trek. And then, additionally, the store was announced to be closing because obviously everyone's going to be off at MerxCon. And Corey's going to be busy organizing MerxCon, so trying to ship stuff and handle merchandise at the same time is just too much of a workload. So there'll be a brief hiatus on that. In the same vein, the laser is getting put on pause as well. So everything for the laser that has already been marked as shipped, for those waiting on items, those have been shipped. Anything that is not yet, there's a bit of a delay on artwork, so those will be starting back up again mid-November, and rough estimate, November 19th is when they should start shipping back out again. Folks are doing everything they can to make these go move as quick as they can, but we appreciate your patience, as there's just logistics of everyone's schedules and the volunteer time to make things happen. So
sounds good.
Now I think that's everything.
Yeah.
So far away.
But yes, so with all that, so thank you very much for listening. For those of you who are going to be at MerxCon, can't wait to see you. Please come to the live podcast so we can see all 12 of you in person. For those of you who aren't able to attend, we'll definitely get a copy out for you for everybody's listening enjoyment, for the other 10 of you. And thank you for listening this month. See you at MerxCon, and we'll release another episode after that. So thank you. Have a good one.
Bye. See you at MerxCon.
This has been a production of the Mandalorian Mercs Costuming Club. To learn more about the topics discussed on this episode, please visit us at www.mandalorianmercs.org. The Mandalorian Mercs is a worldwide Star Wars costuming organization comprised of and operated by Star Wars fans. Star Wars, its characters, costumes, and all associated media are intellectual property of Lucasfilm and Disney. We hope you enjoyed the show and welcome your feedback. Visit our Facebook page or email us at podcast@mandalorianmercs.com.